It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, neighbor. Welcome to Fresh Oil, the podcast, the radio program that talks about God's grace and how God desires to just be a part of our everyday life. We're on a series this week. Today, we're going to wind things up. I've been talking about the voice of the Spirit and hearing God in this noisy world. And today, I'm going to talk about becoming a dwelling place for God. Our verse today is found in Isaiah 66, the first two verses, verses 1 and 2. From the NIV, it says this, "Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. These are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word." We've been exploring what it means to be a carrier of the presence of God this week. And in our final message on this series, we want to focus on something beautiful and very personal. That is becoming a dwelling place for God. God doesn't just want to visit us. He desires to dwell in us. He's not looking for a meeting place. He looks for a resting place. Let's discover today how to become the kind of people with whom God loves to dwell. You see, friend, God wants a home and not just a house. He said, "Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool, but this is the one I esteem, he who is humble and contrite in spirit." God fills the heavens, but he chose to dwell in the hearts of men and women who are humble, repentant, and surrendered to his will and his purpose in our lives. He isn't impressed by grand buildings or eloquent prayers. He's looking for a life that makes room for him, not just in part, but in every room of the house. I want you to imagine your heart like a home. Some people give God access to just the living room, the public space, but they keep the closets and the private rooms locked. Others give him Sunday mornings, but they keep Mondays through Saturdays to themselves. God wants full access to your life, friend. He wants to dwell and not just visit. And when he does, he brings his peace, his presence, and his power into every part of your life. Now, there are four foundations of a dwelling place that we want to talk about today. These four qualities that will turn your life into a home where God can dwell. Number one is humility. God draws near to the lowly. Pride repels his presence. It's one of the things God can't stand. Humility creates space for him to rest. Second is purity. God's holy and he dwells in holy places. And this doesn't mean perfection, but it means a lifestyle of repentance and integrity. It means you have a heart that desires to be godly, to be like him and to obey his commands. Thirdly is worship. Worship is a big foundation to be a dwelling place for God. Psalm 22 and verse 3 said, "God inhabits the praises of his people." You see, my neighbor, worship builds a throne for God in your life. When you begin worshiping him, you invite him into your life. When we have church service on Sunday, we always begin with worship. Why is that? It prepares people's hearts for God and to hear the word when I preach later on. And then there's obedience, the fourth foundation for a dwelling place for God. See, God doesn't dwell where he isn't obeyed. Obedience invites his continued presence. And these foundations, they don't earn God's presence, but they make your life a place where he loves to dwell. Let me give you some biblical examples. Let's look at how God has always desired to dwell among his people. The very first would be the Garden of Eden. We talked about this week. God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, and his desire from the very beginning of creation was fellowship. God had a relationship with Adam. He would come down and walk with him in the cool of the day, and they had a relationship. Secondly was the tabernacle. When you read Exodus 25 and verse 8, it talks about the tabernacle. God said, "Let them build me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." So there was an example of God desiring to dwell among his people. Oh, then there was Yeshua, Jesus. John 1:14, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." See, Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us. He came to dwell here. And then fourthly, the church. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, Paul said, "Don't you know you're God's temple, and God's Spirit dwells in your midst?" See, God's story is the story of a God who refuses to be distant. He wants to live close to us. He desires to have fellowship with you on a daily basis. Let's talk about the difference a dwelling makes. Think of a family home that's filled with laughter, music, warmth, and life. Now think of a house that's empty, cold, dark, and silent. A home is more than a structure. It's about presence. When God lives in your life, it fills it with purpose, light, direction, and joy. You stop striving and stop just surviving and you start living. God's like the house. He wants to be in the house that's filled with laughter, music, warmth, and life. He doesn't want the empty house that's cold, dark, and silent. Now, how do we become a dwelling place? How do we invite God to dwell and not just visit with us on Sunday? Well, I believe it begins with daily surrender. Each day, "Holy Spirit, you're welcome here in my life. Use me. Speak to me, God, and show me what you have for me on this day." And secondly, create margin. God doesn't dwell in overcrowded lives. Make room for him. When I say create margin, I mean make space for him. Make sure God is welcome in your life. It's not too overcrowded with everything else we try to pack in. Thirdly, practice awareness. You carry a continual conversation with God throughout the day. You know, I'm praying constantly. God's in my mind. He's in my heart. And whether I'm driving in the car, working in the office, sometimes when I'm counseling someone and I'm thinking, "God, how can I help this person?" I'm praying in my mind during that time and listening for that still small voice to speak back. And then you let the word of Christ dwell richly, like it says in Colossians 3:16. You make scripture a daily meal and not just a weekly snack. When you build on these rhythms, your life becomes more than a shell. It becomes a sanctuary. And God can live in that sanctuary, and your life will impact so many others when you invite God to be a part of your daily life. See, friend, God's not looking for perfection, but he is looking for permission. He won't force himself on you. He wants your life to be yielded to him, to be worshipful, humble, and he wants you to become a house that he can fill with his glory. In Isaiah 66, it says, "This is the one I look on with favor, he who is humble and contrite in spirit, and who trembles at my word." See, that's the dwelling place God is after. Let that be you, my friend. Now, years ago on a rugged coastline in the Pacific Northwest, there was a lighthouse that guided ships safely into the harbor. And for decades, one man faithfully kept that lighthouse going. He cleaned the glass daily, he trimmed the wick, he refilled the oil, and he made sure that the beam was shining bright through every single storm. One day someone asked him, "How do you keep the light so strong night after night?" And the keeper replied this, "It's not about the light, it's about the lamp room. If I let dirt build up on the glass or clutter crowd the floor, the light can't shine the way it should. My job isn't to make the light, my job is to keep the place ready for it." And that's the picture of a believer as a dwelling place for God. See, the Holy Spirit is the light, but we tend the lamp room. We make space, we keep it clean, we ensure that there's nothing blocking his brilliance. Because, friend, people are going to see the light of God in you. You are the light of the world. Jesus was when he was here, but now he said to his disciples, now you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill can't be hidden. God doesn't force himself into crowded rooms, so make room for his presence. If your inner life is crammed full of anxiety, bitterness, distractions, and unconfessed sin, there's little space for his spirit to dwell. Clearing the room of your heart isn't about earning God's presence. It's about making room for what he already wants to do in you. In Psalm 132, verses 13 and 14 say this, "For the Lord has chosen Zion, he has desired it for his dwelling. This is my resting place forever and ever. Here I will sit enthroned, for I have desired it." See, friend, you and I, you are Zion now in Christ. Let's talk about making this practical. Identify one thing this week that you can remove from your spiritual room to make more space for him. Soon as I said that phrase, if something came to your mind, do it this week. Make room for him, because God desires to shine brightly through your life. There's friends you have, and there's family members that desperately need to see Jesus in you. Have you noticed that some places in your life just feel peaceful? In that same way, your life can carry an atmosphere that welcomes or resists the Spirit. See, gratitude shifts the atmosphere. Begin thanking God today for the great things he's done for you. Worship changes the air. Begin just singing songs to him today, and then a forgiving heart keeps the environment healthy. Is there someone today that you need to forgive and let go of the offense they hurt you with? In 2 Corinthians 2:14, he says this, "Spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere." That means your heart is not just a dwelling, it's a fragrance diffuser of the presence of God. My wife has these things in rooms of our house that every so often, every 2 minutes or whatever, it'll spray some diffuser, some fragrance just to make the room smell nice. That's what we do as Christians. When we enter a room, it makes it smell nice. Ask yourself today, what does the air of my spirit smell like right now to God? Is it fresh with worship, or is it stale and bitter with resentment? Friend, becoming a dwelling place for God isn't about building something grand for him. It's about preparing a clean space where his presence feels right at home. Keep the lamp room ready, and his light will never fail to shine through you, even in the darkest storm. Father, I just thank you for this week as we've been talking about being a lighthouse for you, hosting your presence, God, into our lives. I pray for each and every one listening today, God, that we can be a dwelling place for your spirit and your presence in our lives. Thank you, friend, for listening today to Fresh Oil. Go by my website at weneedgod.com. He loves you. He really, really does.
What if one encounter with grace changed everything? In a world marked by striving, shame, and brokenness, grace offers something radical: transformation. Keith Manley's newest book, entitled Grace Changes Everything, is a soul-awakening journey through the power of God's unearned favor. With personal stories, scriptural insight, and heartfelt encouragement, Keith Manley shows how grace isn't just a concept, it's a force that restores, renews, and redefines your life. Whether you're weary from religion or wounded by life, grace still has the final word. A fresh, timely reminder that God's grace still reaches the darkest corners of our hearts.
Grace Changes Everything is the sequel to my book, The Grace Revolution, and it's available today on Amazon.com in paperback, hardcover, and the Kindle ebook. Get your copy today of Grace Changes Everything.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and he makes his mercies new every morning.